What we read of in Numbers chapter 27 takes place immediately after the second numbering of the people of Israel by Moses in the wilderness. Numbers 27, we'll read the first 11 verses. Then came the daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, of the families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph. These are the names of his daughters: Mahla, Noah, and Hogla, and Milcah, and Tirzah. And they stood before Moses, and before Eleazar the priest, and before the princes, and all the congregation by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, "Our father died in the wilderness, and he was not in the company of them that gathered themselves together against the Lord in the company of Korah, but died in his own sin and had no sons. Why should the name of our father be done away from among his family because he hath no son? Give unto us therefore a possession among the brethren of our father." And Moses brought their cause before the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "The daughters of Zelophehad speak right. Thou shalt surely give them a possession of an inheritance among their father's brethren, and thou shalt cause the inheritance of their father to pass unto them. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, If a man die and have no son, then ye shall cause his inheritance to pass unto his daughter. And if he have no daughter, then ye shall give his inheritance unto his brethren. And if he have no brethren, then ye shall give his inheritance unto his father's brethren. And if his father have no brethren, then ye shall give this his inheritance unto his kinsmen, that is next to him of his family, and he shall possess it. And it shall be unto the children of Israel a statute of judgment, as the Lord commanded Moses." Thus far we read the Word of God this morning. That portion of Scripture that we read is also the text that we consider this morning. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, on the occasion of baptism, we are reminded of God's covenant, and we are reminded that God's covenant is made with men, with women, with boys, with girls, with sons, and with daughters. We're reminded of that in the passages that are quoted in our baptism form. The baptism form quotes Genesis 17, verse 7, where God made his covenant with Abraham and with his seed. "And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee." That word seed, although we know from Galatians chapter 3, refers to Jesus Christ, not only, but also to the children of Abraham. And it is not a gender-specific word, but it is a word that includes the seed of Abraham, boys and the girls, the male children and the female children. The Scriptures call God the God of Abraham, and of Isaac, and of Jacob, and we need to remember that when the Bible does that, that the women are included too. God is the God of Abraham and Sarah, and of Isaac and Rebekah, and of Jacob and Leah, and of their sons and their daughters. In the New Testament, Acts 2, verse 39, which is also quoted in the baptism form, shows us the same thing. "For the promise is unto you," Peter said, "on that day of Pentecost, and to your children. And you note again that Peter isn't specific. He doesn't say the promises to you and to your sons, but he says to you and to your children, in order to indicate that included in God's covenant promise are the sons and the daughters of believers. That in the Old Testament, the females, the women, belong to the covenant is evident from the passage we read this morning. The daughters of Zelophehad, who are mentioned in the text, belong to the covenant of God. If they did not, if their status in Israel was something less than a covenantal status, they would never have been able to approach Moses and Eleazar and the princes of Israel with their request. And they would never have received the answer that they received from God. God heard their request to receive a portion of the land of Canaan in their father's name, that they might possess it as women in Israel under their father's name. And God granted that request. He gave them that land. And surely none of that would have happened if they were not daughters of the covenant. These daughters of Zelophehad belong to God's covenant of grace. In the New Testament now, we have occasion to be reminded again now on the occasion of baptism that this reality, that God's covenant includes the male and the female, is more clearly revealed now in the New Testament. In Genesis 17, when God made the covenant promise to Abraham, He also gave to Abraham the ceremonial sign of the covenant, which was in the Old Testament circumcision, which was administered only to boys. When a girl was born, there was no administration of circumcision. The sign was not administered. Not that the girls were not included. We've already seen in the Old Testament, the girls were included in the covenant. But now, this morning, in the New Testament, with no male child, no male infant present for baptism, only a girl, and I don't mean she's only a girl, I mean only a girl present for baptism, and yet we celebrate the administration of baptism, we celebrate the baptism of an infant baby girl because she is a daughter of the covenant. She receives now in the New Testament the sign of the covenant. The sons and the daughters of believers are included by God in the covenant and are heirs of life eternal. That's really the main subject of the text this morning, the inheritance of everlasting or eternal life. The text speaks of an inheritance. It's God who speaks of an inheritance that He gives to His people Israel in the land of Canaan. And although the text only speaks of Canaan, speaks of an earthly land, the text does not refer to an everlasting inheritance. We know that's what the text is speaking about because Canaan is a type, it is a shadow that pointed to the heavenly reality of the city made by God, of life everlasting in heaven. And so in the text, the daughters of Zelophehad believe in and seek their eternal inheritance. The daughters of Zelophehad proved themselves to be godly. They proved themselves to be women of faith. They are seeking after the kingdom of God and life everlasting. Thus, if the parents remember, they might want, on the occasion God gives them grace to see their daughter confess faith, to request that this passage be used on that occasion, the confession of faith. But this morning, beloved, consider this passage with me on the occasion of baptism under the theme, the request of the daughters of Zelophehad. We're going to notice in the first place the reason for this request. Secondly, the ground for this request. And then thirdly, God's beautiful answer to the request. The children of Israel are yet in the wilderness, and Moses is still the leader of the children of Israel. We will consider tonight the appointment of Joshua to take Moses' place, because Moses might not enter the land of Canaan. Before the children of Israel enter the land of Canaan, Moses takes another census. This is the second census. Moses counts or numbers the people of Israel, hence the name of this book of the Bible, the book of Numbers. Moses numbers the people of Israel with a view to their entering into the land of Canaan, the land of promise. The land is to be divided amongst the people proportionally. The large families, the large tribes, will receive more of the land of Canaan, and the small families and small tribes will receive a smaller portion. It's after that numbering, which was with a view to taking possession now of the land of Canaan, that the daughters of Zelophehad had come to Moses and to the leaders of Israel. They come to request that they be given a portion of the land of Canaan in their father's name. The reason for that is given in verse 3. They speak of their father there, and at the end of the verse they say, "But died, he died in his own sin and had no sons." That means that the daughters of Zelophehad, as well as the rest of the people of Israel at this time, expect that Zelophehad will receive no portion in the land of Canaan. There will be no plot of ground that has the name Zelophehad on it. No portion in the promised land for him, because he died and he had no sons. The daughters of Zelophehad are bothered by that. They want their father's name to endure. They want their father to have a portion of that land of Canaan. And thus, they come to Moses and the leaders and say to them in verse 4, "Why should the name of our father be done away from among his family because he hath no son? Give unto us therefore a possession among the brethren of our father." The women want to take possession of the name under their father Zelophehad's name, with the idea that when they marry, instead of, as was usual, moving in with their husbands to their portion in the land of Canaan, their husbands will move in with them in their father's portion in the land of Canaan, and their sons, should they be given sons, will carry on in that land under Zelophehad's name. And Zelophehad's name would be preserved in Israel. Why are the women concerned that their father's name be carried on and that their father be given this land? There is no, we ought to understand this morning, there's no carnal consideration on the parts of these women. These women are not motivated by any earthly greed. They're not motivated by any attachment to an earthly piece of land. Nor is there, we must notice this morning, any hint of what today we would call feminism. These women are not rebelling against the male headship that God has established in Israel. They are not fighting against or combating any perceived slight against women. These women are content with male headship. If their father had a son, there's no doubt these women would be happy to let the inheritance pass to their brother. They would have gone and married other men and enjoyed the land of Canaan with their husbands in other lands. These women are content with receiving the land under their father's name. This isn't for them. This is for their father's name and for his heritage in the land of Canaan. These are not carnal women. These are godly women, these daughters of Zelophehad, and they are moved by faith. They believe something and see something spiritual here in the land of Canaan. The text speaks of the inheritance. Now, that's not the word that they use. They use the word possession in verse 4. Give unto us, therefore, a possession among the brethren of our father. But it's when the Lord speaks that the Lord says in verse 7, the daughters of Zelophehad speak right, thou shalt surely give them a possession of an inheritance among their father's brethren, and thou shalt cause the inheritance of their father to pass unto them. The daughters of Zelophehad look at the land of Canaan as an inheritance. It is an inheritance from God Himself. And therefore, looking by faith upon that land, that earthly land, as an inheritance from God, they are looking at it as a picture of heaven. That's what these women desire. They are not desiring a piece of earthly ground or earthly property. They are desiring the kingdom of and the glory of heaven. To have a place in heaven is their desire. This is how the believing Old Testament saint looked at the land of Canaan. This explains, for example, why Naboth, when he was presented with an offer from King Ahab to buy his land for a price that was more than his land was worth, from an earthly point of view, would not sell his land. That land, his father's land that was given to him by an inheritance, was his place in heaven. And he would not sell it. Now that's the attitude that the daughters of Zelophehad have towards the land of Canaan. By faith, they see that land as a picture of heaven. Now what the text reveals is that God not only, and the daughters of Zelophehad were right in seeing it this way, God not only intended that the land of Canaan be a picture of heaven itself, but that He intended that each man who had a name and a possession in the land of Canaan, that his name would last forever, that it would last for many generations. We know it wouldn't last forever, but that was the picture, that was the intention, that when the children of Israel saw this piece of land bearing the name of a man, not for one or two generations, but for many, many generations, this was a picture that God had given to the people eternal, unending life in the land of Canaan. A picture then of the unending, eternal life of salvation in heaven. This is what the daughters of Zelophehad are concerned about. Why should our father's name be done away with? Why should it disappear? Why should the land of Canaan not bear a permanent record of our Father as a picture of eternal life in heaven? The daughters of Zelophehad are concerned about the gospel, about the good news, that good news that God would give to His people eternal life in heaven not be tarnished, not be diminished by their father's name disappearing from the rolls of the nation of Israel. Thus, what these daughters of Zelophehad seek is not carnal at all, but it is spiritual and godly. They're seeking the eternal inheritance of eternal life in heaven. You might ask again, why? Why do the daughters seek this? Although the passage doesn't speak directly to this, we have good reason to believe that they were taught to view the land of Canaan this way by their father. Although the passage speaks of the fact that he died in his sins, the daughters do not mean to say by that that he was an impenitent sinner or an unbeliever. The daughters point out that he was not part of the rebellion of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Although their father was part of the generation that could not enter the land of Canaan because of unbelief, we must not think that that means everyone in that generation was an unbeliever. No. It's very likely that these daughters saw Canaan as a picture of heaven because that's what their father taught them. And that's what he sought, and that's what he was sad about. Because he was over 20 years old when the Israelites rejected the good report of Caleb and Joshua. And because he was told by God that he wouldn't enter the land of Canaan and that he would die in the wilderness, this father probably told his daughters how sad he was because he believed that was a picture of Canaan, and maybe he even struggled with some doubt. Maybe my dying in the wilderness and not having a portion in the land of Canaan, maybe that means I won't be in heaven. And you see what he was revealing to his daughters, speaking that way? My desire is heaven. What a beautiful thing for a father, a believing father, a believing mother to pass down to his, her children. Heaven is my home. That's what I seek. Now that's what the daughters of Zelophehad seek. Beloved, we and our sons and our daughters have the very same inheritance. We are heirs together with Jesus Christ. We are citizens not of an earthly land now, but of the kingdom of heaven. We look for Christ to come again in glory and to establish the new kingdom, the new heaven, the new earth. We will possess the land. The earth will be ours. We seek heaven just like the daughters of Zelophehad did. But now we and our children do not seek heaven in connection with the land of Canaan. That earthly shadow, that earthly type has passed away. We don't need any earthly land. Where then, you and I must ask this morning, where here on earth is our portion in heaven? Where can we say that we possess the land and that we have the hope of everlasting life? That's now, beloved, in the church. We live not in the age of Canaan, but in the age of the New Testament Church of Jesus Christ. We live in the age of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the church, where God dwells with His people now, not in the land, but in the church, by the gospel. We have our place in the church. And if we think like the daughters of Zelophehad, and we have faith, we look now then not on the land of Canaan as our place in heaven, but we look at the church, there in the church of Jesus Christ on the earth. We have our place in heaven. We enjoy the presence of God our Father through the preaching of the gospel. We enjoy the blessings of salvation and the forgiveness of sins in the church. Under that preaching, we live in the land of heaven, experiencing a foretaste of it now, living with the people of God, not in Canaan, but in church, in the church, enjoying the blessed communion and fellowship of the saints. Like Zelophehad, We tell our children our hope is not here on this earth. Our hope is in heaven. And because we believe that our hope for heaven is tied not now to Canaan, but is tied to the church, we teach our children while we are on the earth there's nothing more precious to us than being members of the church. And we have such an attachment to the church that God tells us is His kingdom here on this earth, that like Zelophehad, we can hardly bear to think of being removed from the church. If we would be taken out of her membership, if we would be taken out of her midst, knowing that God has promised to save His people through the church, we would probably struggle with doubt, wondering if, because we're not in the church, we're also not going to be part of the saints when they assemble the last day and the eternal life of heaven. Beloved, like Israel of old, our portion in heaven is among the people of God in the church. And we want our children to stay then in the church. Do you have faith? Do you have the faith of Zelophehad and his daughters? Do you believe in everlasting life? Then, like Zelophehad's daughters, you will seek everlasting life in heaven. You will make it your goal. You will tailor your whole life, the way you live and walk, to seek that goal. And you'll speak of it with your children. Do that. Speak of it, eternal life, as your hope. Speak of it and show in your life that heaven is your hope. And then instruct them, discipline them, teach them, send them to catechism, to the Christian school, and have family devotions with them. Teach them the Word of God to show them this is your hope, eternal life in heaven. That's the reason that we pray. That's the reason we go to God, isn't it? And pray. Because we want eternal life. That's why the daughters of Zelophehad went to Moses and asked for a portion in the land of Canaan. They wanted eternal life. But what's the ground? The daughters of Zelophehad seem to have a very weak claim to any portion in the land of Canaan. Their father is dead. He was part of the generation God said would fall in the wilderness. He has no sons. The inheritance doesn't pass down to daughters. The inheritance passes down to sons and through them to their sons. But then if you look at things from a spiritual point of view, it seems that the daughters have even less right to ask for an inheritance, a portion of the land for their father. Because this land is a spiritual land, you see. This is the land of God, the land wherein righteousness shall reign. And they have admitted that though their father was not part of the rebellion of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, he was a sinner. He died like other men in sin. The daughters do not point to their father as a great man. In fact, Scripture doesn't tell us anything about him that would make us think he deserves a portion in the land, that he had anything to do with defeating the enemy, Sihon and Og, or any other enemies in the wilderness, or that he had done any other great works. Nor do we see the daughters here in the text pleading on the basis of their own worth or merit. We are godly women. Surely we deserve a portion in the land in our father's name. They don't say any such thing. They knew that they, like their father, like all men, were sinners. That's the meaning of what they say at the end of verse 3. they would die in their sins too. Nevertheless, these daughters lay claim to a portion of the land of Israel, or Canaan rather, and lay claim, therefore, to everlasting life, and they're confident of it. Are you that confident that everlasting life is yours? That you may possess it now? That you may lay claim to it and that you have the hope of it forever in heaven? Well, the grounds of that confidence for the daughters of Zelophehad and for us is God's grace. God gave to the children of Israel that land of Canaan by His grace alone. That comes out in the history of God giving them that land. That land was occupied by Canaanites, by Perizzites, and by Hivites. Those people lived in that land of Canaan within walled cities. And those people were more in number than the Israelites and certainly had better weapons and equipment for war. And yet, God had already given them victory over Sihon and Og, and would give to them victory over many other people in the land of Canaan in order to show to them that they would possess that land by God's power, by God's grace alone. God would give them the land. In the history too, that land is divided, given to the people of Israel by lot. That's another symbol of God's grace. No man could go into the land of Canaan and take any land and possess it for himself. That land was given by God, by God's appointment through the lot. It was God's grace that would give them the land. Furthermore, that land was possessed by the people of Israel in the Old Testament because of the deliverance God had accomplished for them from Egypt. The people celebrated the Passover, which pointed to them the fact that they possessed the land of Canaan only because God delivered them from bondage, from slavery, not only unto the Egyptians, but to sin through the death of the lamb. Now that lamb that the people slaughtered on the Passover night, and later when they celebrated the Passover, was but a type and a picture too. It pointed ahead to the promised grace of God, the Lamb Jesus Christ, who would sacrifice Himself for their sin, that they might be adopted to be the children of God and have the right to possess the land, to live with God in the land of Canaan. The daughters of Zelophehad had faith in that promise of the coming of Jesus Christ. They knew they were sinners. They knew their father was a sinner. They knew that they didn't deserve the land or the promise themselves, but they laid hold on it confidently through Jesus Christ. We have a right to the land. And they stood then by grace in God's covenant. You understand, when the passage speaks of an inheritance, it is speaking necessarily of the covenant of God, His relationship of friendship with His people. Only we should say this morning, more particularly, a relationship of family life with His people. When God says, "I will be your God," He means this: I will be your Father. And you will be my children. You will be my sons and daughters. Not my servants, not my slaves. My children, my family. That what I have, I can pass on to you as an inheritance. That's what God does in the covenant of grace. He creates a family through Jesus Christ. He gathers to Himself sons and daughters. And on the ground that covenant, that relationship he establishes by grace through Jesus Christ. He gives an inheritance. Beloved, it's that grace of God that gives us the boldness to claim eternal life. God's grace gives to us the hope of life everlasting one day in the new heaven and the new earth. Who, we ask, like the children of Israel living in the wilderness, and now we living in the world, seeing that the Canaanites or the heathen are many more in number than us, who, we ask, will remove all these people? Who will remove sin and wickedness? We cannot do it. God will do it by Jesus Christ. God's grace gives us hope of the new heaven and the new earth. It gives us grace that God will preserve us and our children to bring us through the wilderness of this world into the land. We know that this daughter who is baptized this morning has no right to eternal life because of her parents. We know her parents have no right to eternal life because of their own works. We know, who stand with the parents in our sins, that not one of us can claim eternal life in heaven and lay hold on it because of anything we have done. It's only God's grace. We live, beloved, in a greater possession of that grace, really, than the daughters of Zelophehad did. Christ has come. He's died on the cross. He's done away with all the types and the shadows, those lambs that the people slaughtered. We don't need them anymore. The blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. And we have been adopted. And we have been given the down payment, the earnest of our inheritance through the Holy Ghost that lives in us. And we live with the people of God in the land that is in the church of the New Testament. And it's because of that grace God has given to us that we claim eternal life for ourselves and our children. We believe, we stand in the covenant that God makes with believers and their children by grace. He makes us His sons and daughters, for the promise is to you. You need to lay hold of that promise. And then it's with our children. And really, this is why God gives our children parents who believe, so that they will point them to their inheritance, point them to eternal life in heaven. She can't do it now, can she? She cannot seek eternal life on her own. That's why God has given to our children parents, so that you parents will instruct, teach, discipline. Teach the children the truth that their life is not bound up here on earth, that they have something better than this earth, that they have treasures that moth and rust do not corrupt or destroy. Teach them that their life is bound up in the church. This is where their portion is in heaven on the earth. God gives us grace to lay hold on that promise and our children. And when we seek it, God gives to us eternal life. Seek and ye shall find. God's answer here is beautiful to the daughters of Zelophehad. The daughters of Zelophehad speak right. Thou shalt surely give them a possession of an inheritance among their father's brethren. And thou shalt cause the inheritance of their father to pass unto them. They are given land, a portion in the land of Canaan, under their father's name. And not only that, a statute is written. A new law is made in order to try to ensure, to guarantee that the name of the fathers of those men will last for generations. Give it to the daughters. If he has no son. If he has no daughters, give it to his brothers. If he has no brothers, give it to their brothers. And if there are no brothers going down that far down the list, then find another near kinsman, like a Boaz. And make sure that that name is established forever. So that in the Old Testament there will be this beautiful picture of life everlasting in the land of Canaan. God's answer, of course, did not stop there. You and I notice that the land of Canaan is no more what it once was. It is no longer the picture of heaven. From an earthly point of view, that means Zelophehad's name has perished from the land of Canaan. It's been removed, along with the names of his daughters and the names of all of the people of God in the Old Testament. But the name, let's notice that this morning, the name of Zelophehad and the names of his daughters live on. They're recorded for us here in the passage. It's as if God's answer to them is, not only am I going to give you a lasting name in Canaan, but I'm going to give you a lasting name in my Word, so that you can be a memorial, a testimony to the people of God that this is right, seeking eternal life, the kingdom of heaven. So we read their names. Mahlah, Noah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Tirzah, daughters of faith who sought everlasting life, were given a name by God in His book, the Scriptures. But the answer is even greater than that. The answer is the coming of Jesus Christ, who gave something better. That's why the land of Canaan is not needed anymore. Because Jesus Christ has come. He's fulfilled the type. He's given to His people a better, that is, a heavenly city made not with human hands, but by God. And the answer is the hope of a name and a place forever in heaven. The promise to Zelophehad's daughter, to you and to me, is that Jesus will come again in the consummation of all things in the new heavens and the new earth. He will give to each of His own their own particular place and their own name in heaven. You know, there's something fitting here that in the Old Testament, women receive land. Because you see, that's how it will be in heaven. In the Old Testament, they receive it under their father's name, or they enjoyed it under their husband's name. But in heaven, you see, there won't be any marriage or giving in marriage, or any sons or daughters. But every single believing, elect child of God, man and woman, will be given by God to know the name God has eternally chosen for them, and the place that God has not only chosen for them, but prepared for them specifically through Jesus Christ. Beloved, this is true of every woman in the church and every man who believes and is chosen by God. The single women, too, who have no husband. The single men who have no wife. Who think, perhaps, their place in the church is small. Maybe isn't as important as the place of those who have husbands and wives and children. In heaven, all will have their own name in their own place. Beloved, this is what God promises to all those who believe and seek the eternal inheritance. We need the warning along with the promise. To those who don't believe, those who cut themselves off from the church, they, like branches, be cut off from God and His kingdom and covenant. Cut out of the church, they shall be cut out of heaven. But God's promise to those who believe, who seek Him, who live in His church on earth with faith. One day, I'll give you a name and a place forever. It won't end. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for giving to us a name and a place in Thy church, giving to us all of the blessings of Thy covenant, that we may experience salvation and even live in the hope of life everlasting under the preaching of the gospel. Grant, Father, unto us grace to continue to seek our life above, and give unto us and to our children faith to believe and to seek the everlasting kingdom of Jesus Christ. And continue to assure us that although our name and place in the church is lovely, we have a much better name and place waiting us in glory. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen.